Great to be here. Good morning. Grace, peace of the Lord to all of you. It's an honor for us to be invited to come and participate in this series of mission you've been talking about. And I see in your flyer as well about the mission, that the gifts you send. And as you come in here and I see the banner there, that seek God, love generously, expect transformation. It's really a powerful statement of this fellowship, and we are so blessed and privileged to have you praying for us. Yeah, we couldn't say no, you know, when you invite us to come and say thank you personally to all of you for your prayers, for your support, for standing in partnership with us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bring greetings from Tim and Angie Smith. They just came to live in Leicester. You had a farewell recently here. I saw in the web page, and Tim came to see us in our workplace, in our compassion center where we teach English. And he said, please don't forget to tell them, send them our love. And where we're settling down, and he's very happy to be near the children now, you know, the Debbie, and I met Debbie and her husband, the children. They also in partnership with us there and trying to reach out to the city to Jesus. David asked me to share on internationalization of missions, you know, and that's why we are here. We've seen Brazilian going to Iraq, to Egypt, and now we're in England. What is happening? Before it was only Westerners, yeah, people from America, people from Europe going to the South. Yeah, I know it's still going, like Anissa just came back from Colombia in a mission trip. And then now Brazilians coming to England. What God is doing? You know, that's an interesting subject to be speaking with. And besides speaking about that through our testimony, through what we think that God is doing. And we're also going to talk about the King's Great Commission. Yeah, we cannot, you know, just read that Great Commission of the King Jesus, you know, that go into all the world and preach the gospel, go and make disciples of all nations. And I want to talk about the universal, the four universal of the Great Commission. That is all authority, all nation, all things, and last one, always. It's not beautiful? God, here we have this great thing, the heartbeat of King Jesus. It's the heartbeat of Jesus, why he came here at first place, because he wanted the gospel to be spread all over the world. And just have a word of prayer before I continue. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege you have called us to serve you in the mission field. Thank you for calling me, Andrea, and giving us our children, Father, to serve in this harvest field, Lord. Thank you for allowing us for the privilege we have. Thank you for the church, the body of Christ, that is international, that is from people from every nation, from every tongue, from every background, Lord, and we thank you because you are working and you are saving people, Father, from the south, the north, the east, and the west. And Lord, we thank you for this lovely community church here that are engaged into the mission. Father, I pray that as we speak, you stir up in our heart that fire, that zeal again, that you are moving, that we are conquering, that we are seeing people coming to Christ and being saved in our generation, Father. We thank you because you are the King of the harvest. And we bless your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Michael Brady was a stunning man for Universal Studios in Florida, the USA. His speciality was skydiving. His last job was jump from a helicopter into a moving train. Michael Brady went to climb the stairs of this train to check out what he was going to be doing. He slipped he slept and fell, hit his head on the ground and died instantly. He was also an organ donor. He was 67 years old. And a man, Bill Wall, was in a hospital in a heart transplant machine for 159 days when he received the news that a heart became available. What a joy. Now, in his chest, a heart is beating strongly from a 37 years old Michael Brady. Bill Wall, just after recovering from the operation, starts running a marathon. He wants to honor Michael Brady, you know, because of the gift he got, a new strong heart to live. And then one day, after 6 months, one day when he's recovered, he had opportunity to visit Michael Brady's family. And as he was visiting them, and he met his mother, his sister, his brother, all give them a hug. But Michael Brady's father asked him to hear his heart. He has his stethoscope in his hand, and he went to hear Bill Wall's heart, and then he could hear the heart of his son beating in his chest after he went to live with the Lord. Isn't that a great thing to have? Suppose God today would come and put a stethoscope in our hearts this morning. Suppose that he would come and listen to your heart at Fort Front Community Church. Did you hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ? Is your heart beating for the lost? Are you still engaged in that great commission? What are you passionate about? You know, what is your passion? That's my prayer for our visit here and this series of mission that you're going to be hearing. That God will ignite that passion again for mission. Passion again for the community around you here. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you're going to raise. I know I'm hearing that there will be a revival again in the southwest of England. I'm hearing here and there. When I go to different places, I hear that God is up to do something new. And I'm very happy to be part of this, you know. And I know that God will stir up again that passion, that fire of the Holy Ghost into our hearts so that we can go and preach this gospel. And here we are, né? The disciples, because God so loved the world and gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved the world. God loved people. And he gave all authority to us. In this passage where we read of the Great Commission, say that then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubt. Here is the 11 disciples. Probably other followers of Jesus were there as well in that mountain. They were following. They were obeying the Lord Jesus. And Jesus here is resurrected from the dead. He had conquered the grave. He's up to go back to the Father. And when they saw him, they worship him. They adore him. But some of them are still doubting. You know, God is calling people like me and you. You know, sometimes we are strong, sometimes we believe, sometimes we have a little doubt, but it doesn't matter. God can use us when we put yourself available for his cause. And in a place of meeting, in a place of worship, in a place of when we gather to hear him, he speaks to us. He's calling us, he speaks to us, he's powerful to call, to speak to us and change your life, to have transformation in our lives. And interesting, they are in the mountain here. Many things happen. When we go to the gospel, many things happen in the mountain. Even the Old Testament, the first time God spoke to Moses was in the mountain. And God speaks to us in appointed time, in a meeting place. I remember when I field, God's calling me for mission. I was 17 years old. I was in Brazil, and I just met a YWAM team, and I felt so passionate about their love for Jesus and their desire to share the gospel to others. And I remember we had a meeting in a hall like this in the middle of the city, in a rented hall. We had some performers, some dance, some theater, and then someone came to share the word of God in that meeting, that divine appointment meeting. And I remember this preacher was talking about and calling people to accept Jesus, and people went to give their life to Jesus. And also, he was calling people who went to go to mission. And I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I could not stop crying. I could have hear the words, big words, and go, therefore go, and make a disciple of every nation. I was hearing about people that are worshiping rats and monkeys in India and other places, and I have the opportunity to know Jesus in my own country. I know my family were saved by missionaries from Texas, from the Baptist Church in Texas. They would go every year. They would save money every year in summer to visit Brazil to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in Brazil. I remember when I was 7, 8 years old, through myself and my sister, a younger sister, they would come to your home and share the four gospel, you know, the four spiritual laws. You know, we were sinners in the grace of God. And then I remember my father and my mother doing a prayer together, you know, with the foreign language, someone translating in Portuguese. And we became saved. Salvation came to us in Brazil. You know, and I felt that night in that theater, the Lord is speaking to me like the prophet Isaiah, you know. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who shall go for us?" I said, "Here I am, send me." You know, that's why we are here today. God's been faithful with us. We've been in training with YWAM, trying to learn cross-culture communication, how to learn other language, other cultures, and other people. It's been a journey. But God said, you know, Jesus came to us and he just today and he said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. All authority, all power." That's the great commission of the King Jesus. God has given him all power. And this all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Notice that say, "Oh," you know, the universal things that I want to talk about. All authority, not a little bit of authority. Jesus has all authority, all power. You know, not that the devil has some power and Jesus has some power. No, he has all power. You know, there's Satan may be in charge of some place, like some cities in Brazil and Colombia, but he's not in power, you know. God has all power. Jesus has all power. He is in control. The word in Greek here, authority, means, which means a permission to give somebody else. It's like I have all this authority, Jesus is saying to his disciples and saying, "Now I authorize you to go in my name. I authorize you to go in my authority." When we go and we want to serve our community, we cannot do in our own strength. We cannot do in our own power. We need to go in his strength, in his power. That's why he can use any one of us as we put ourselves available for his cause, for his gospel, to reach out to our community. He has given all authority. He's authorizing you to go. So we need to go in his authority. And the other word, it is exousia in Greek, that also means jurisdiction. It's about place, jurisdiction, dominion of some place. In other words, there is no boundaries to his authority. In heaven and earth, there is no place that is not under his jurisdiction, under his power. He has power of authority. every place, of every bound, to the highest mountain, to the lowest valleys. Amen. He can use us. He can use us when we go under his authority and his power. When the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles." You know, the Gentiles here include everyone. And it includes also people of other faith. Yeah, I remember when I first heard about the Muslim world, was about one missionary for 1 million Muslims around the world. It was about in the 90s. One missionary to 1 million Muslims. Today, this statistic says that one missionary for about 405,000, 505,000 Muslims. So there are about 6,741 unreached people groups today in the world. And that's what they classify the unreached people groups, is that there is less than 2% of evangelical Christian, born-again believers in this place. So there is 6,741 yet unreached people groups. So this King's Great Commission is also the great omission of those centuries. You know, we've been omitting this. Many centuries, we could have completed that Great Commission already. But are we not being listening what God is saying to us? There is still about 2,500 languages needing Bible translation work to begin. In Brazil, we got about 89 or 90 tribes in the middle of the Amazon that no one have ever reached them yet. You know, America spend more money. In America, people spend more money buying Halloween costumes for their pets than the amount given to reach the unreached. Halloween, you know. In Brazil, probably we're drinking more Coca-Cola than giving to the cause of mission. We still like doing, we know the amount we're giving, we're doing, but we're still doing so little compared to the great task we still have to do it. All money given to mission goes to the rich is 0.001% of the whole amount given to the cause, to the mission. Only 0.001% goes to the enriched people groups on earth. I remember when I told my father, I said, "Dad, I feel God's calling me to go to Egypt. I want you to learn Arabic, learn the culture, and spread the gospel to the Muslims." He said, "You're crazy. You're out of your mind. What you're doing? Keep that for yourself. They already have their religion." You know, my father was a believer and grew up in church, in the Baptist church. He praised God that, but he said, "No, don't go. You know, they have already their religion." But in Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Salvation, there is no other name. So Muslims need to hear the gospel, need to hear the message. And that's where we're doing since we left Brazil. That's where we're struggling. We're trying to interact with this people group. They have another religion. They are not easy. That's why they are unreached. Most of them, and the, you know, the Hindus in other places on earth, they are unreached because they are not easy. They are difficult. There is price to pay. But that's what we're trying to do, because God loves all nations. God loves all people. God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all people, including Muslims, including Hindus. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." It has to do with people. has to do with cultures, has to do with language. Not easy to learn another language, to learn English, you know, I try to speak Arabic. But it's also a privilege, you know, we get to know other nations, other culture, and we can worship and here with you this morning is a privilege, it's an honor, I'm rich. Maybe I don't have anything, but I'm rich because I have friends all over the world. I have friends here in England praying for us. You know, that's the calling. All nation is including all people. God is in love with people. God so loved the world. We already read that before. You know, if we call ourselves a church, we need to stop excluding people. Internationalization of mission. It means internationalization of church. When you talk about internationalization of mission, we're talking about internationalization of church. People from other colors, from other backgrounds, from other languages, you're going to join us here to worship in the Forefront Community Church. This church is for all people. The Church of Christ is from everyone. We need to make room in our church here in UK if we want to continue to grow. In Leicester, all the churches in Leicester is international church, international fellowships. You know, that's internationalization of mission is talking about. It's about us opening up, us all embracing culture, embracing nations. I know sometimes we try to exclude ourselves. We want to be yourself. But God is God of all. In Europe today, the church needs to be international. The church needs to get room for different ways of worship, different ways of we're today is an international, globalized world, and we have refugees coming our doorsteps. Why mission is coming back into England? You know, I remember when God called Israel, he wanted Israel to be a light for every nation. He called Abraham and he made him, you know, and bless him and say that you all the nation will be blessed through you. But the Jewish people want to stay only with them. What happened to them? They went captive to the nations. They were like captives in other nations so that the light of God could be spread out to the other neighbor countries around them. And that what happened to us here in UK? You know, God said for us to go. Maybe we have gone, but we have not gone enough. Now God brought the people around us in our neighbors so we can spread the gospel to them. People from China, I know that students here from China is the great number. From China, from Iran, from Iraq, students from everywhere are coming and flooding our cities here in UK. What an opportunity to spread the gospel to this community, to these people groups around here. John had this vision of the throne of God, and when he was captive in the island of Patmos, and he in Revelation 7:9, he said, after this I look, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. That was the vision of the end, the vision of heaven. And you want to see the vision of heaven come to earth is when the church become international. I had this opportunity to go to do a mission training in South Africa in 1998, a leadership training school. And there was about 120 students in this place from many different nations in Africa and many places. And there was about 50. So altogether, we speak more than 50 different languages. And then the worship leader, on the time of the worship, he said, I'm going to open this door. He said, the king is coming. The king is coming. How are you going to greet him, the king, in your own language, in your own culture? Wow, it was such a beautiful time. And then we had like the most powerful time of worship I ever had in my life. You know, I see these islanders from New Zealand welcome the king like in the haka, you know, like they do with the rugby. And then I saw that African dancing and worshiping the king. And then I saw the Brazilian, like they do in the football field, you know. When we have the football in Brazil, we get crazy about football. But when we're in the church, we're like, what's going on? The king deserves all worship, all praise, and the nations were going to worship him. And he wants the culture to be revived. You know, every culture, every gift, every language, every tribe before the throne of God. And I have the privilege in Leicester now, we're serving alongside a church in partnership. YWAM does a partnership with TLC. We have many, it's a bit international. God can do more. He's going to do more. But it's great to see all colors, all people in one place worshiping God. That's God's desire. That's God's desire, because that's going to be like that in heaven. Different expression, different gifts present to God. So we need to open up. We need to embrace the nation. We need to love the nation. You see, there is no people, there is no person, there is no one person outside of Jesus' jurisdiction. I mean, he can save it all. He can transform it all. You know, this we can see in this passage here, when we read, we say we need to make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. You know, these verbs, sometimes we stress too much. Go, baptize, and teaching them. Go, baptize, teaching. The emphasis is not we go or baptize or teaching. The emphasis is more about loving people. Because we can go, we can teach, we can baptize, but we cannot love people. You know, sometimes we can do that. God wants us to really love. And I don't tell you that I have all the love. You know, every morning when I lived in Egypt or in Iraq, I have to pray that God will fill my heart with love, because he loved me. He died for me. He saved me. And I don't have that love in my own strength, in my own human heart, but the power of the Holy Spirit in us make us a new people, a new creation. And that's when we can love and accept others. We can embrace, we can serve others with the love of God. This is the body of Christ where everyone is invited. If we don't love people, we don't guarantee that the church will continue to exist, you know? We can preach, we can teach, we can go. But the real thing is to love our community, to love the lost, to have that love that God loved the world. And for him, cost his only son. It's costly. It's really difficult. It's not easy. To bring a Muslim background into the kingdom, you might become his only friend. You know, we have an experience now in Leicester. A mother with 4 children become a believer. We're building relationship with the whole family, but only the mother accept Jesus. The mother gave her life to Jesus, and through friendship with Andrea, she was one of our students in the Open Hands, and she gave her life to Jesus. But now we are her own friends, we are her own family. We need to go and pick them up every morning, every Sunday morning to church. We need to take the kids out because her husband left. You know, she lost all her family, she lost everything because she wanted to follow Jesus. What a costly, but she's strong. She wants to have freedom. She had received Jesus, and she's free in Christ. She's counting the cross, but she wants to follow. She made a decision. Discipleship is costly. It involves patience and sacrifice. We cannot expect a new believer to mature like instantaneously, like we as we have McDonald's and fast food today. It takes time. You know, and that was a dilemma in Egypt. I remember when I lived in Egypt, the Christian church would say, we should not bring the Muslim background believers to our church. Because you know what? If they change their minds and went back to Islam, and if they fall in love with my daughter, what are they gonna do? You know, they married my daughter, he's a Muslim Christian believer now, he married my daughter. What's gonna happen? Now if he came back to Islam, he can have four wives. So that was the dilemma, the questions that we had to answer. How are we gonna include Muslim background believers in our community, in our church? How are we gonna include people of other faith when they become passionate about Jesus? When I was praying, thinking about this question, why there are more missionaries today being sent from Asia, Latin America, and other parts of the globe instead of the traditional Western European American missionary, as Dave asked me to share today. I remember when I and Andrea first came to UK, to England in 1996. We were very young. I was 23 and Andrea was 25. 1996. We came from, you know, we had an intensive English program in Harpenden, and then we had like a step-over ticket from Brazil where we could stay 5 more weeks. Stopover ticket from Brazil that we could stay here for 3 months in the country. Then we have 5 other weeks. We need a family, we need a place to stay where we could practice English before we go to Cairo. And that's why we met David Herring. You all know David Herring. That's through David that we have this connection here with for Front Community Church. So David brought us here once, and we met all of you, and we didn't have our children yet. And then we went to Cairo, and the children were born. We came back, visit again. And then David opened, opened his house for us and offered us hospitality and very patient with us so we could learn the language. And you know, David is an itinerant pastor. He goes to preach and teach where fellowships cannot afford to have a minister. You know, in that time, I could not speak English, but he took us to different fellowships, smaller fellowships, not like this community here. But I remember some of the fellowship was very small, maybe few people, about 8 or 10. Oh, white hair. Yeah, sorry for the white hair. But I was like astonished. Like very, he took us place to place, and the majority of place were like this. We couldn't see one young people in the church. And these nice buildings, this nice place, but where are the people? Very few. And I asked David, what happened to UK? Where are the church? Where is the young people? And he said to me, and he looked to me, and Andrea, I know in Brazil you are having revival right now, but one day you're going to be like this as well. And I couldn't understand what David's saying to me. You know, I couldn't understand. And Andrea was shocked. I know Anissa went to Colombia, and probably she saw a lot of young people in the church, but we're still having this revival. But what I've seen from the 90s to the 2000s, things are changing already in Brazil. You know, our economy, when God called us to leave Brazil in the 90s, we were, you know, our economy was very, very, before the 90s, was very difficult. We had like inflation of 70% a month. People didn't have jobs. It was a very difficult time. But in that time, the church, we're like a family. We love each other. We offer hospitality to one another. We eat each other's home. We pray together. We are just like friends and family. And time to time, you know, in this, before we left, we share in the church. We talk about mission. We talk about God's love for our nation. And we talk about the gospel, and young people were giving their lives to Jesus. They would come crying in front, and we would pray for them. You know, that when we talk about mission, they will say, yes, I want to go. And we pray for them. We encourage them. We commission them to go. But as the year goes, you know, after 2000, our economy getting better and continue getting better, people start to have the same dream as the American dream. In Brazil, it's the same dream as the Americans. One house in the city, one house in the beach, one house in the countryside. And then what are they going to do with all this house? God became, you know, second place. Church became a second priority. And then I start to realize what David said to me. It's true. You know, after an industrialized world, after money coming, after the development coming, you know, people start to get cold. The church got cold. And that's what we're seeing. Every time we go to Brazil now, unfortunately, it's not the same anymore. You know, the people are not responding anymore. Even though we preach with the same enthusiasm, with the same passion, but few people are responding to the gospel. Few people want to go anymore because they are comfortable in their house with the cars. Teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. This is the process. I already talked about the discipleship process. That takes time. You know, that's the time we need to continue preaching the gospel and the whole gospel. Everything. All things. In Brazil, in America, there's this theology. They just want to talk about prosperity. Oh, you come to Christ and you're going to be rich. You're going to be comfortable. But life is not like this. That's struggling. That's really, this teaching are destroying the church and the heart and the faith of the believers. No, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people do not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, this is the time we're living in. Very difficult time to proclaim boldly. We cannot say, you know, like there's the political correctness and all these things are happening around us. But we need to continue proclaim the true and the whole thing, everything that God had commanded us. It's difficult, it's not easy, but the promise is that He'll be always with us. You know, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of age. It's a fact, it's a promise. Matthew Gospel starts with this gospel, this news. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he finished the gospel with this word of Jesus, I will be with you. I will be with you until the end. This is good news. Amen. God is with us. Who can be against us? When we are engage yourself in this great commission, God is with us. When we're feeling good, when I'm sick, He'll be with me. When I'm young, when I get old, yeah, I'm finishing now. My wife is, sorry, this is Latino. I try to watch you see the watch now. He says, I will be with you always. Always. And that's good news. You know, I remember when we left Egypt as criminals, you know, I know if I share here before, we've been denied to go back to Cairo because of preaching the gospel there with Muslims. And the secret police were waiting for us and to take us to the plane and go back again home. And I remember after living all these years in Egypt, that peace and that joy. Even though it was painful, it was difficult, but I felt the presence, strong presence of God with us. He's always. So just to finalize. God has given no power, all authority. You receive the power of the Holy Spirit when He comes over you. And you be my witness here. You know, we are coming back to Jerusalem, pass again in England. We need to revival so as for us to complete this great commission. He'll give you all the power. He loves the nation. He loves people. We need to open up as a church, open up as a community for different nation, different people, different color, different language than ours. And we need to teach them everything in this process. All the gospel, there is pain, there is sorrow, there is cross, there is blessing, there is prosperity, but there is trouble too in the way. And He will be always with us. Amen. God bless you.